You are listening to the Tricorder Transmissions
and
5-year
mission,
episode
12.
And
now,
here are
Craig
and
Jeff.
Greetings, everybody, and thanks for tuning in to episode 12 of What Are Little Songs Made Of? This week, we are going to be talking about The Menagerie Part 1. And here to get the conversation started is Patrick talking about the writing of the song.
Well, we've alluded to this before, I think, but when Mike did The Cage, since some of the footage from the episode The Cage was used in Menagerie Parts 1 and 2, he wanted us to include something from his song into our songs for the Menagerie Parts 1 and 2.
So and, controlling.
I know, right? and Chris and I was writing Part 1 and Chris was writing Part 2, and we decided to not listen to each other's track until we finished our own. And we ended up using a lot of the same material from the chorus of Mike's song, I think.
Yeah.
But that one, that was real quick. I don't really have a lot of memory of writing it.
They
just kind of woke up and there it was, and I spit it out in about 10 minutes, and that was about it.
They both plagiarized my chorus quite well.
You told them to!
Yeah.
That's the start of a trio of really sort of moody songs, and I say moody in a good way. Was it the overall tone of that episode that led you to sort of go down that road?
Well, Menagerie Part 1 is almost all set up. I mean, there's not really much that happens in the episode, and the only thing that really stands out is the state of Captain Pike. And so I felt like it needed to be kind of depressing. And since Mike's song was sort of the perspective of the viewer for The Cage, I thought it would be great to turn that sort of on its side and have it be from the perspective of Captain Pike, but reusing some of the same lyrical ideas that Mike had in The Cage.
Which, when I heard the song, I wondered if Patrick's lyrics were kind of a stab at mine. because I said, I'm saying, to Captain Pike, you're not my hero. What are you doing with the girl? And Patrick's song is, he's like, in case you remember him, Christopher Pike, I was the hero. And I thought, like, is he like defending Pike because I didn't know who he was?
Looking at it from the point of view is how sad he would be if he was like the Kirk, hero type of character for all those adventures. And then here he was, an invalid that couldn't do anything for himself.
Except Beep.
I also remember this song had one of our first major controversies, which was, do we really want to include a Star Wars reference in it?
I was going to ask that. So they're referring to the more machine now than man?
Yeah.
After a short discussion...
I don't remember this.
You guys don't remember that? I don't think it lasted long. I think it was like a day of emailing or whatever, maybe even just a talk.
I think it was mentioned, but I don't think there was really much discussion about it.
Yeah, but we decided it would be okay, since technically in the Star Trek universe, Star Wars would have been a movie that's like 300 years old, so I guess you can mention it.
It's just part of the culture at that point.
Yeah.
Unlike today.
So speaking of references in the song, Patrick, could you shed some light on the Macintalk Fred inclusion?
It was just kind of free association. The beeping reminded me of the Macintalk Fred, and that was all I could really think of to compare it to. And it was kind of just a little joke to throw in there. amidst a sea of depression and angst. And also, this is a song that we had worked on the arrangement for, reworked, because we never played it much. And we decided we wanted to play it again, and so we souped it up and added sort of a fast shuffling beat to it, and we played it more recently.
We need to play it more often. Yeah, it's been a while.
I don't remember how we.
Well, this is.
I think we did it at practice as a jam.
We were just messing.
Oh yeah,
we were goofing off because what happens often at our practices is, especially when
much
there's,
like in this conversation.
Yeah, especially when there's like one or two people missing and we're just messing around until everybody gets there, is that we just start playing these alternate versions of our songs. And just like goofing around, and they're never really supposed to lead to anything. We're just having some fun, but every now and then, like a gem comes out of it.
Right.
And this is one of them. Like I think Andy was just playing like the beat that you play. Right. It's like really upbeat, and we just randomly started we were in the middle of like working on that song, so we just went into it and ended up finishing the song, and we were like, "That was awesome.
Let's do that again." In front of people.
And so then whoever it was that wasn't there, like, I think it was Chris.
Probably.
He walks in and he's like, "What?"
Which is often the case.
I think I was there for that. Because I remember getting that,
the accordion.
Yeah, because I think I got that right away.
Yeah. But I think this is the first song that we had an actual alternate version of that we play.
Right. And we had talked about doing a new recording of it and making it a bonus track at some point.
We were going to do it for this.
We were going to do it for Spock's Brain, and then we ended up working on something else instead.
Yeah, this album already has enough Patrick songs on it.
So, guys, any other thoughts on the Menagerie Part 1?
I really like the darn professional line that I hear in there. That was
darn professional.
That's probably the most entertaining.
On a total side note that has nothing to do with the song, but has to do with the episode. Like we talked about back when we did What Are Little Girls Made Of, that there's, you know, Mike and I have this top 10 list of, you know, the hottest, you know, OT.
TOS.
It always comes back to Noah's little list.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, top 10 list of hottest girls in Star Trek. And this episode has one of them in it. But it's just like a background character. She's just like sitting at a desk for like 4 seconds as someone passes by, but she's on my top 10. I just wanted to mention that episode, if somebody wants to look for it.
Can you give us a timestamp on where she appears in the episode?
I can at this moment.
It's not during the cage footage, right? It's the newer menagerie footage.
Yeah, it's in the present time.
Yeah, footage. Somebody on the Enterprise, I think.
I don't even know if it's the Enterprise. I think it's when they're down.
When they're going to C-Pike?
When they go to C-Pike, yeah.
Okay.
It's one of those.
So that gives you an idea. In like the first 10 minutes or so.
Yeah, probably.
Right. So we're going to queue up Menagerie 1. Check it out.
But
let us know what the timestamp is.
We should also mention, you know, if we're talking about the top 10, that, you know.
Good.
What's her name? Vina? Is that
Susan
her name?
Oliver?
Susan Oliver. I mean, she's probably on my top 10.
Oh yeah,
she's.
I agree with that.
She's probably up there.
Yeah.
It's great final thoughts, guys.
Those are our final thoughts.
Final thoughts
ever. No.
All right. Any more from you, Craig, on this one?
Well, no. I mean, Susan Oliver was the original Green Girl, so I mean, she's got so many looks in that episode that she would definitely be in the top 10 because there's just so many looks to choose from.
Just by sheer volume.
Who said? Did somebody say Hunchback?
Yeah. No, that's in part 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spoiler.
Okay, and that wraps up this week's episode of What Are Little Songs Made Of. Thanks for tuning in, as always, and we will see you next week with the Menagerie Part 2.